You're listening to episode 18 of Imperfect Heroes, Insights into Parenting, the perfect podcast for imperfect parents looking to find joy in their experience of raising children in an imperfect world. I'm your host, DJ Stutz. Hey, all you mummies and daddies out there. Stay tuned. This episode is all treats, no tricks. I am sharing my best advice for all the pros and cons of the looming All Hallows Eve and how to turn this sugary, exciting holiday into a learning experience for all your little goblins, ghosts, and vampires. There's so much to learn, so let's get started. Before we get going, I want to tell you about our sponsor, my company, Little Hearts Academy USA, where you can currently register for a free workshop called From Unwitting Saboteur to Strategic Hero. And this workshop looks at the ways parents often sabotage themselves and ways that you can recognize what you're doing and make changes that will help you become the strategic dream hero that you've wanted to be. So, go to my website and check out the other things that we offer, and there are some great resources there. Trick-or-treating has always been fun with my family. I loved going out as a child, and when I found a house that was especially spooky, that was a great treat. My kids all loved the spooky parts of Halloween, along with spending time planning for costumes, where to go, whether it's going to be our neighborhood or grandma's house. And the weeks building up to Halloween were full of fun and excitement and anticipation. There were parties at church and school parties and community celebrations. And then there was the question, are we doing homemade costumes or just the store-bought variety? And then eventually there were the discussions about how much candy were they going to be able to eat that night? How late do we stay out? And are they just too old to go out anymore? Like everything else in life, Halloween has its pros and cons. So let's start out with some of the pros. First off is language skills. Children often take on the persona of their costume, and they will use language that relates to the character. And they will also use language as they interact with friends and families who are in character, and parents can encourage their children to talk about who they are and what their friends are. Are characters funny, scary, community heroes, superheroes? What was their favorite costume? What was cool about that costume? You can talk about the houses you walk up to and what the decorations are that they have. So it's a very language-rich opportunity for you guys and your children. There's also social skills that are improved through the Halloween experience. If you can, try to go out in groups of several children. And as the kids go out with their friends, supervised by adults, of course, they have a chance to do something daring and a little scary. And for some kids, it pushes them beyond their comfort zone. And that can be a positive. I deal with kids at my school who maybe are afraid to go up a ladder or down the big slide or stand at the top of our structure. And so we work and help them to overcome those fears and those anxieties. And you see the confidence that happens when they overcome whatever it was that was keeping them from enjoying that activity on the playground. Well, the same ideas come in place with Halloween. And so maybe they're a little nervous about going up to the door, and you can help them to overcome some of that. You can go with them. And there are a lot of things that you can do. But it's good for kids to be pushed at some point. I mean, not over the top where they lose their mind and they're scared to death. And we don't push kids beyond what they're willing to do. They'll watch other kids go up to the door just as they would watch on the playground, other kids going up a ladder or down a bigger slide. They see other kids doing it. Oh, nothing bad happened to them. And so gradually they will get used to it. This is also a great time to teach them to be polite. And so you would do well to have maybe some practice runs around the house, especially with the littler kids. So we've done several practice runs in my classroom with some of my children who are new to the culture or struggle with their own social skills. And they will have a box or a bag, or I have plastic pumpkin containers in the classroom, and they will go from various centers of play and say, trick or treat, and we throw in a block or a Lego or something from the dramatic play, and each center they can get something, and then they practice saying, Happy Halloween, once they've gotten their treat. And then when they're done, they get back, they dump it out, and they talk about which one was their favorite. And it's funny how it works without candy. It really does work without candy. We've even had a couple of my kids. I have a couple of kids that are new to the country, and the way that they do Halloween or not do Halloween, wherever they came from, this is totally new for them. We've even let them practice going to another classroom and doing trick-or-treat. We've set that up ahead of time and so that they can practice. And it's really worked out well for them. You can do this at home, and where they practice saying trick-or-treat, and then you talk to them about, you just take one candy, or someone might say, oh, you can have two. All right, then that's a counting opportunity. Math. And so we count one, two, but if they don't say anything, you only take one. You don't reach in and grab a handful, because then we can also talk to them about how we need to make sure we're leaving candy for other children who are coming. Wouldn't it be sad if they came to the house and all the candy was gone because you took too much? That would be so sad for those kids, and we don't want them to be sad. So we're just going to take one or two, depending on what the house says, the person at the house, and then we're going to say, Happy Halloween before you leave. So if you do those, and I'm going to talk a little bit later about when kids are scared of Halloween, but when you have these practice runs, it also helps them not only with the social skills and the expectations of Halloween, but also a little bit with the fear that now, oh, I've done this before. I get it. This is what I do. And so that can help alleviate some of those fears. So making sure also that you're talking to them ahead of time about expectations. For any kids 5 and under, I would actually walk up to the door with them and make sure that they are comfortable, that this is a safe place. You're checking the porch, making sure that there aren't too many tripping hazards. A lot of times those decorations can cause some tripping hazards, and your kids are so excited, they're not looking for that at all. You can also have the opportunity then, as they're really young, to go back and get into that. Just take one. Or if they say two, okay, let's count that. One, two. Sometimes the person at the door will just take it out and put it in the bag or the pillowcase or whatever it is that you've got for them. And that's always nice. And then you're reassuring them with saying, what do you say? Happy Halloween. Okay, thank you. And that always endears them. Doesn't it endear you when someone is polite at Halloween? I always love those kids the most. Anyway, once they're 5 and you deem that it's appropriate and we've reviewed our rules and expectations of being polite and all of that, and you can trust your child to be polite and to do that, then you might want to stand back a little bit. You might be maybe 10 feet behind them. You might stay back at the sidewalk. But now they are learning some independence. And independence at this age is actually very appropriate. But they're not out of sight. You want to make sure that you have view of them from the door and you can see what's going on there. But it lets them take off on their own a little bit with the reassurance that you're nearby in case anything untoward happens, which really rarely happens at Halloween. I guess it depends on where you live. My neighborhood, pretty safe. Anyway, that's something that you can do. And then it's up to you after that, once they get older. We only work up to 8 with this podcast. We're only thinking about 8, but it's up to you to decide when they can go out on their own. Last year, actually, I had a little guy, maybe 3 or 4, came up to the door, and instead of saying trick-or-treat, he said, can I please have a trick-or-treat? Oh, It was so cute. I gave him extras. So polite. I really loved that. So don't worry too much about your little ones being too scared. Most preschoolers actually do better with telling fiction from fact when they are dealing with things like unicorns and princesses and superheroes. They can actually define the difference between this is pretend play. Oh, this could be real. And so when they do start getting more real, though, is when they start blurring that understanding between what is possible and what is not possible. What is a threat? What is not a threat? And so certain masks can be very unsettling for kids. And so you can pay attention to your surroundings, steer them clear of things that might be too frightening. You know your kids. And kids who do scare more easily than others may benefit from being something more fun than being something more scary. And I've seen kids come up with costumes that were like a cupcake, a bird, a teacher, a monkey. I even had a deep sea diver one time. As I mentioned in my Linger Longers, I think it was last week, we had a little boy who said he was going to be a hot lava. At first he was saying hot lover. It's like, oh, you're only four. I don't know. But he's actually going to be a volcano. And so he's going to be the hot lava. He's going to have hot lava in his volcano. So you can get really creative. And I would make sure that your child is taking the lead on what they want to be and how you can do that. Be sure to present things as this is going to be fun. And don't just talk about it that day. Halloween stuff comes out very early, and you can start talking to them about, oh, this is going to be fun, and look at this costume, look at that costume. Another benefit to Halloween is building their imagination skills. It's a chance to dress up as someone or something. Like I said, they could be all kinds of things, and it gives kids a chance to pretend and expand their imagination. Now, if we're talking about that pretend piece and all of that, really, it's an amazing thing when you can go after Halloween. You can get costumes for really cheap and let the kids put them in their dress-up bin, or if they have a case or a box where you keep dress-up things, you can put those in, and they will enjoy them throughout the year. So that's some of the things that you can do to encourage them to use that imagination. Another plus is creating memories and building those relationships. And this is actually a really important part of Halloween. Finding joy with your children as their treasure builds, as they keep going, and responding to their excitement and their nervous fears. And be sensitive to when they wear out and be willing to call it a night when they are done. And watch for those signs. You know them. They're your kids. So watch for those signs. And when they start showing those signs that they're getting tired or whatever, then you're willing to go home at any time. It seems that as I have talked with parents and families throughout the years and what some of their concerns or their issues are with Halloween, it comes down to about four main concerns, and things can be loaded into those four umbrellas, so to speak. One of them is safety. I'm worried about safety with my child. So here's some things that you can do if that's one of your concerns. Use brightly colored costumes because they're easier for cars and other people to see and know that they're coming. Make sure that their costumes fit well and are not too big. Check their costume for tripping hazards. I would get them ahead of time. You know, you're going to have time for your child, especially if you have maybe a more fearful child, to be in the costume before Halloween, to play with it. It becomes a fun thing. And then that also gives you time to make whatever adjustments you might need to be, whether it's hemming them or tucking it in. If you notice, as the kids are moving around with the costume, they're tripping over a piece or a certain part of the costume. You have some time to make those adjustments, and then they're fine. Keep weather in mind when you are choosing costumes or making costumes. So if you're down in Texas, you probably don't need to worry too much about a heavy coat being over it. If you're up in, you know, Wyoming or Minnesota, you're probably going to need something that will fit over a heavy coat. There's nothing more frustrating for a child. Well, there are a lot of things that are more frustrating for a child, so I take that back. But it is frustrating for a child who has this really cool costume and they're so excited about it, and then they have to put this heavy coat on over it. So why not switch that around? Get the heavy coat, then get the costume, make sure it fits while they have that coat on, and then you can always hem them up or make those adjustments that you need, and they'll still be warm and happy that they are in this very cool costume. So I also would suggest using lighting somehow. Either they have a flashlight, which they feel very cool with a flashlight, or they can have lighting within their costume. You know, I dress up for Halloween. I teach little guys, and so I will usually have my costume on as I'm handing out candy. And this year, don't tell any of my students, we are the busy bees. We are a classroom bee. And so I am going as a bee this year with a tutu, a bee that has a tutu, a yellow tutu, and my tutu actually lights up. And I know the kids are going to be excited about that, but imagine how excited especially your little girls would be if they had something that lights up within their costume, with their princess costume or whatever. Even boys dig things that light up and are interesting. You could have something with their cape or something incorporated within their costume that has lighting in it. And then there's always like those little bracelets or necklaces that light up. And you can always throw a couple of those on them. You can also put reflective tape on their Halloween bag, whatever they're using. You can put some reflective tape on the back of their costume if you want to do that, so that it reflects whatever lighting comes from cars. You are also going to want to stay with your kids. I would stay with them until they are probably 12 or 13, but at least within the age range that this podcast is talking about, I would definitely be with them as they go out. And so you might need to have one parent at home, one parent, you know, with the kids. You might even offer to pay a high school kid that isn't going out to hand out candy while you're gone. There's a lot of options that are available with them, but I would make sure that I'm with my kids while they're trick-or-treating, while they're in these ages. And be sure to check their bags, of course, before you let them jump in and get their candy. And if you don't want the kids out on the streets or being at strange homes, there are a ton of other alternatives. We're going to talk about this a little bit more later, but there's like churches, schools, shopping centers, community events. There's all kinds of things that you can do other than Halloween trick-or-treating that brings in the spirit of the holiday, and they can have a lot of fun. And then you could also plan a Halloween celebration at home if you don't want them out. I'm going to go into more detail when we are talking about this a little later in the podcast, but just kind of keep that in mind that you can always do Halloween at home. All right. And then if you're handing out candy and the kids are coming to your house, there are some things that you're going to want to pay attention to keep these little cuties from, you know, getting hurt or slipping or falling. So, of course, clean off the porch from tripping hazards. If you've got trees that put a bunch of leaves on there, you'll probably want to brush it off or sweep it off before the kids come. Keep things well lit. And remember that rule. If the lights are out at the house, you don't go up, right? So when you're out of candy, flip off that light, put out your pumpkin lights or candles or whatever you're using, and then hopefully everyone is aware of that rule that you don't go up to homes that are dark. And I hadn't heard of this before, but as I was doing some research and planning, I came across this new idea, and I didn't know about it. But it says that if you put a teal-colored pumpkin or the poster of a teal-colored pumpkin in your window, it lets kids and families with allergies know that you have alternative treats available. So treats that are allergy-friendly, that the kids can still have that experience and come up and then not feel bad that they get home with all this candy that they can't eat. So I had no idea, but I will have some alternative treats available, and I will be looking for a teal pumpkin this year. And then all they have to do is when they go up to the door and say, trick or treat, and all they have to do is maybe say something about the teal pumpkin or just say, I have allergies. And then if they have that teal pumpkin, they'll know. Some places with teal pumpkins are only giving out allergy-free or allergy-safe treats. I'm going to mix it up. So another concern that we might have with Halloween is when you do have those kids that get very afraid of things. And so there's some things that you can do to help them through this. I already talked about kind of giving them a chance to push themselves a little bit, but be very aware of how they are reacting. And some houses may feel safer and friendly to go to, while others may be more spooky and they might frighten your child. Don't push them to go up to that house if they are really getting scared. And so just notice your child's reactions. Like I said, Halloween stuff comes up super early in the year, and that's a great time to start looking at some of those things and showing them, oh, this is a mask, and showing them that, playing with it, maybe even buying one that might be a little bit scary, but then they see us playing with them, older kids playing with them, and they might get more used to that. But take that time to talk about Halloween is coming, and this is a time when people like to dress up and pretend, and sometimes they like to be scary things, but they're not really doing scary things. They're just having fun. And as you start having those conversations early on in the season, I would say even at the beginning of October, and you'll see things in September in the stores with Halloween stuff, it's a great time to lead them up to Halloween if there are kids that tend to be more scared about things. Never minimize, though, what they are feeling. If you can see them rear up and kind of push back, and so you want to calmly support them, you can talk to them about what they're feeling. Oh, it looks to me like you might be a little afraid of this house. Is that true? Are you a little bit afraid of this house? How are you feeling? And having them express some words and anxiety, you can give them the option. Do you want to hold my hand while we go up, or should we skip this house? And skip this house is a perfectly fine alternative when you see that they're overly stressed about that. And give them permission to feel their feelings. Yeah, this one does look a little scary. And oftentimes, when they have permission to be a little bit afraid, they'll get over it faster. Sometimes it's just that attention that they're getting. I mean, they're not planning this out, but it's just kind of inherent in them. When they realize, oh, I get a lot more attention when I act up or when I'm afraid. So you can just make it no big deal. Oh, you don't like this house? No big deal. We don't have to go there. And then continue on. And they will tend to get over these things a little more quickly. I would say if you have a child that is overly scared, I would save the scary decorations for another year. I know for me, I don't like the demonic kind of things, but I do have fun with pumpkins. So it's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. I have little Charlie Brown figures that I put out in front, and I lined the walk with them to help with lighting on the walkway. But and then I have just a variety of different kinds of pumpkins that are in my house. You can have fun with cute witches or funny ghosts or whatever you want to do. Maybe let the child help you pick out some of the decorations that you're going to be putting out on your lawn or even inside your home. And so it's something they picked out and is fun for them. They also have like stuffed animals, but they're not really animals. They're little Halloween things that they can have and play with, because that's something that they can play with and enjoy. Then when they see it out on Halloween night, it's not quite as scary for them. If your kids are honestly too scared to go out on Halloween, that's fine. Do an in-home trick-or-treat and let the kids dress up and go from door. Maybe it's a bedroom door or a bathroom door or whatever, different doors that are in your home. They can knock on the door, and you can even invite some friends over and do a little fun Halloween party, but it's safe for them. It's in their home, but they're starting to learn about the whole tradition of knocking on doors, trick-or-treat, and then having fun as they're inside. Another plus to this is that they are getting treats that you know they will like, and you know that they're safe. And if you really want to go all out, you can actually decorate the doors, or you can decorate the inside of the bedroom so that it's more of a Halloween experience. But that's another alternative if your kid is really just too scared to go out. But be sure, whatever you plan, make sure that your Halloween plans are fun for your child, not necessarily for you. And so it's what they want, not necessarily the stuff that you enjoy is going to be the same thing. And so we may be less sensitive as an adult to what is truly stressing out your kid. And then as you're making plans, keep your youngest child in mind when you plan parties, costumes, and decorations. And so then as they grow, we can grow in maturity with the decorations and costumes as they grow. But just keep in mind that that youngest child, whether they have a lot of fears, or some kids are really fine and socially outgoing and it won't bother them, but I would watch what my youngest child is doing. Another objection that I hear a lot is just, there's so much sugar, right, with Halloween. And there is. It's a ton of sugar and a ton of candy. And so here's some ideas that maybe that might help you. Have your kids choose some of their favorite candies, so much favorite, and then donate the rest to the shelter. You're going to want to prepare them for this ahead of time. Make sure that that's something that they can understand. And the problem that can come with this is that your kids have been looking forward to this for a long time. And in their minds, they worked hard for that candy. And their point of view could be that this is very unfair. So if this is something that you're going to do, you're going to want to start early having this conversation and talking about when children are not able to go out or they're not able to get things, then it's nice. Here's an idea that I love. It's called the Switch Witch. And I did not hear about this when my kids were young, but I really do like it. So you predetermine how much candy you're going to let your child keep. So I would keep it maybe a baggie size. The size of the baggie is your choosing. You decide how big that bag is going to be. And then you leave the rest of the candy out for the Switch Witch, who comes during the night and she trades that candy for a toy. And so now you don't have quite as much sugar, and you can do whatever you want with that, with the rest of that candy. Have it in a stash for whatever, whether you're going to take it into work or you're just going to save it for later. Another thing, and this is something you can do with that remainder candy, if the Switch Witch came and traded, you can freeze the rest of that candy and then use them. We've got the holidays coming up soon. Use them in making cupcakes or cookies or desserts. The hard candy, you can just smash it up and use it like sprinkles for a dessert. There are a lot of great dessert recipes that might use some of the chocolate candies and things, and that can be a lot of fun. They can make milkshakes with that. So there are a ton of things that you can do with that frozen candy down the road. We're saving it, and that's just another idea. Another, I don't want to call it a con because I don't believe it's a con. It's where you are in your belief. And so some people don't want to participate in Halloween due to personal or religious objections. And that's fine. There are people who abstain from Halloween because of their faith. And others stay away because they feel like, oh, maybe it's too scary and intense for their kids. And others just think it's just way too much candy and that's it. I remember my dad when I was young, he was fine giving out candy, but he didn't want us going out because he thought it was begging. If my kids need candy, I'll give them candy. They don't need to go door to door like beggars. My mom stepped in, thankfully, and we had a blast. But I remember that was one of the things that bothered my dad. It's funny, though, when he became a grandpa, he dressed up, put white shoe polish on his face. That could not have been good for his skin. And he would get his Sunday suit out, and he bought a big cape, and he would use lipstick to do blood and stuff. And he would take my children trick-or-treating door-to-door to the homes of other professors, his peers, that he worked with. And do trick-or-treating. And he had a fun. The kids had a blast. And I thought, where was this man when I was growing up? But he just was a totally different man when he becomes grandpa. You'll find that that's the case. A lot of times, grandparents have very different roles than they had when they were parents. So anyway, there are several reasons that you just decide, nope, Halloween is not our bag. I've already talked about maybe that it's too scary or some of the candy issues. So maybe I've helped you with some of that. But I'd really like to address the faith issues. Above all, for me, faith comes first. I am a Christian who chooses to have fun with Halloween. But I know that the faith of others leads them to a very different conclusion. And we need to respect the choices and the faith of other people. And whether you agree with their conclusions or not, just, I would say, respect the fact that as a human race, we have found many ways to be faithful or choose to be an unbeliever. And regardless of anyone's choices, I always stand by the two great commandments, to love God and to love each other. It doesn't help to demean others who have a different point of view than you. So whether you are someone who chooses not to participate because of your faith, we don't want to demean others who have made a different choice. But the same thing goes around too. Well, most everyone does Halloween. What's your problem? Blah, blah, blah. That's not fair and that's not nice. We respect them for their choices and we will honor that. Just say, thanks for letting me know, because I'll just make sure that we don't come to your house on Halloween, and we still love you as neighbors. You're great. Just be sure to have that openness of opinions and understanding of each other. So if you choose to do other things on Halloween, that is great. You can take them maybe miniature golfing. You could go see a movie. You could go out to dinner that night. Whatever is right for your family and your beliefs. And then explain just basically what I just said, that different people make all kinds of different choices in how they live their lives and how they have different celebrations or don't have celebrations. And that's okay. If you're someone who does not celebrate Halloween, and it depends on how far you want to go with keeping your children from participating in that, you're going to want to pay attention to what's going on at their school. So most schools will do some kind of a Halloween thing. Some schools really go out. I know at the school I'm teaching at, we're going to have a Halloween parade in the morning. I've got parents coming in to do a parent day where we're building a kit. They get to build a kit with their child from Home Depot and Lowe's that have been donated to my classroom. And then we're having our little Halloween party. We're having games. And instead of having candy, I did ask my parents not to bring candy for that, because our school is having a trunk or treat on that Friday before. And so they're going to get plenty of candy there. So we are just going to, we're going to let them decorate a Halloween cookie and play games. And that's kind of what we're going to be doing for ours. Every classroom, even within my school, every classroom is a little different in what they're doing for the holiday, depending on the age of the students. We go from pre-K up to sixth grade in our school. So I would talk with the teacher and ask them, what are you doing on either the, because Halloween's on a Sunday this year. So what are you doing on the Friday before? How are you going to do that? How are you going to do it during the month? Because a lot of times they'll do things like with spiders, and there's a lot of history that can be learned with Halloween that's really fun to teach. There are science projects that can be based. It was funny, one year we had a study of spiders that month, but we didn't really connect it to Halloween, but although spiders are naturally connected to Halloween, but we talked about how they're not insects, they're arachnids, and how do they live, and what are the different types of spiders, and blah, blah, blah. And I had a mom who said, no spiders in October. And it's like, well, why is it okay in February, but it's not okay in October? But that's where she was. And so we wanted to kind of honor that. I ran everything through her and showed her what we were doing. And I just really worked with that mom to make sure that she felt comfortable with what we were doing. But you might want to decide, if it's so much on that celebration day, whatever it is at school, you might want to either pick them up early that day or even just keep them home It's not going to hurt anything if you just keep them home and do other things with them. And it isn't always a bad idea to teach your children that some of the ideas that they will learn at school, especially some of the social ideas that are going to be presented to them throughout the years, are not always the right thing. It might not meet with your faith and your belief or just what's right for society. I'm a teacher, I understand, but there are some extreme teachers that are teaching kids things that maybe are not the best thing for them to learn, or they might not be correct principles. And so it's a great time to teach your children that society doesn't always match, or society's values don't always match your family values or your faith values. And so that might be a great time to talk to them. Another thing is, I know that this year, Halloween falls on Sunday, and that could be a problem for some, where Sunday is the Lord's Day, and it's a day that we spend in faith and doing faithful things, and maybe Halloween isn't quite what fits in your thing. So you might, again, want to go back and think about doing a Halloween thing on Saturday at your home. You may say, we're not going to go out on Halloween, but we understand other people do. And so you might allow the kids to have fun passing out the candy. When they have it, just tell them to have a blessed day and to bring things in that way. You do what's right for you. You do what matches your faith and what keeps your children strong, as long as you're teaching them in terms that they understand, in words that they understand. And then, you know, the hardest thing is when they start feeling like they're missing out on stuff. They might have some struggles later on with faith or with that your particular faith. And so you just want to really be aware of what's going on with your kids. But whatever your choices and challenges are, I hope that you find ways to make this a time to build relationships with your kids. And isn't that what we're supposed to be doing every day anyway? Right? So it's all about relationships. It's all about how we teach, what we teach, and our kids knowing that there's more than one way to skin a cat, so to speak. There's more than one way to live life and to be faithful and to be kind and to have fun. There's a ton of ways to have fun. And you don't have to go necessarily with the crowd to have a good time. So there you are. I just want to remind you again that this podcast is a product of Little Hearts Academy USA, and you can check out our website at www.littleheartsacademyusa.com and sign up for my free newsletter. And so this comes out once a week, and it is full of fun ideas and activities that you can use with your kiddos. If you enjoy the podcast, I would love for you to post about it on your social media. We are continuing to grow. We have listeners in 10 countries and 22 states, last time I counted, and it never hurts to have more, though. I'd love to be in all 50 states at some point, and the more you share, the more families we can reach. So you can get us, or me. I have two Instagram accounts. One is Imperfect Heroes Podcast, and the other one is Little Hearts Academy. I also have a Facebook account, Little Hearts Academy USA. But you can always just email me as well at djstutz@littleheartsacademyusa.com. So next week, I'm excited. This one's going to be fun. Episode 19. And I am going to be joined with Bailey Olson, who was previously in episode 8 with me on the podcast, and Sunny Ellsworth. Now, if you've listened to some of my other episodes, you will know that Sunny is my absolutely favorite sister. She is the light of my life. She's my only sister, but doesn't matter. I love her to death. And so between the three of us, Bailey, Sunny, and myself, we've got 15 kids. And I have no idea how many travel miles we've got with our kids. But we are going to be talking about traveling with children. We're coming up on that season where we often will travel to go see family and friends over the holidays that are on their way. And we just have a ton of stories and some great ideas on things that you can do to help your kids survive, and then you survive without losing your mind while you're traveling. So whether you're traveling by car or by plane, we're going to have some ideas for you. And we had so much fun with this conversation as we shared our ideas and our stories. And so you're not going to want to miss this one. So until next time, let's find joy in parenting. My Lingerlongers, I want to do something special for my Lingerlongers. So if you send me a message or an email with the words Lingerlongers and your address, I will mail you a special gift. It's a surprise for my very best listeners. So my email address, again, is djstutz@littleheartsacademyusa.com, or you can message me on Facebook or DM me on Instagram. So I have the two pages I just mentioned. So don't miss out. This is just something fun and a way for me to say thank you for being a part of my new podcast and getting me off to such a great start. So enjoy your week, and I'm going to go now.